Good morning.
Good morning.
We are going to look in the Word of God at Psalm 40. Psalm number 40. And it's in the Old Testament. It's one of the Psalms, Psalm number 40. And I would like to read it to start with. You have it on the handout. On one side is Korean, the other side is in English. So at least the portions of the psalm that I would like to read, verses 1 through 10, I will read them in English, read those verses in English. I would like to ask someone if they would read those verses in Korean also. So I will read the verses in English, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 10. For the choir director, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord. You know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. So, can I ask someone to read those verses in Korean also? Thank you. Thank you. And hey, so maybe I could ask you to translate just portions of what we're going to talk about today. Not maybe everything, but just kind of the key thoughts. And one of those I'd like you to translate. It might be hard to translate, but this psalm, part of it, is about the incarnation. And the incarnation means that God the Son came from heaven to earth to live in human form. He had a human body, but he was still God. That's why one of the names that he's called is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So some of the verses that we read are really Jesus himself telling us beforehand that he was going to come to the earth. It's Jesus speaking when he says, "Behold, I come." In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. So Jesus came to earth. He came for the purpose to take on a human body so that he could offer his life a sacrifice for sin. Now, the first part of this psalm, and really it was a psalm that David wrote, we read that. The first part of this psalm could be applied to the life of David. And that really has to do with the fact that he had an experience in his life that when he was going through an especially difficult time, God rescued him and God took him out of that. And it says that he was in the pit of destruction. And he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. Sometimes it feels like we're just stuck in the mud. Maybe you could, I don't know if that's something you could translate or not. Sometimes does it feel like you're just stuck in the mud? In English, we have a saying, "I'm stuck in a rut," and I don't know if that's something you can translate or not. But a rut is like the channel or the impression that's left by something heavy that's moving through ground that's real soft, and it depresses it, and so it's kind of something you can get stuck in because the ground is real soft. But sometimes it feels like we're just stuck, like there's nothing that we can do. And it's just sorrow and despair. And David had one of those, in fact, he had a number of those experiences in his own life where he felt like there was nothing that he could do to get out of that mire, out of that mud that he was stuck in. And sometimes that's true in our own lives. We feel like, I can't change. I can't get out of this difficult predicament that I'm in. But you know, God made it possible. We know that sometimes there's nothing that we can do to get ourselves out of that rut or out of that mud. But God did something for David to bring him out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set his feet upon a rock, making his footsteps firm. He gave him a secure place. I'll just tell a little story here. Won't try to translate this, but this past summer, I visited Yosemite National Park in California. It's one of the beautiful national parks that has lots of beautiful rock formations and very high and steep cliffs and rocks that are just very beautiful to view, and waterfalls, many waterfalls, and very many beautiful things to see in nature. And one of the places that you can look out over the Yosemite Valley is a place called Glacier Point. And it's kind of up a steep, windy road. You can drive up there and then look out over Yosemite Valley and see all of the waterfalls and all of the cliffs and all of the rock formations. When you're down in the valley, you look up and you see all these things and they're just, wow, that's so tall. Well, when you're up on the Glacier Point, you can look down and see all of those things. It's a panoramic view of everything in the valley, and it's very beautiful. Well, sometimes when you're in that rut, in that valley, in that pit, And it just seems like you're stuck. But then God lifts you out of that and sets your, is as though you, he sets your feet upon a rock and it makes you very secure. And then you can look down and see what God has brought you out of. And it, you can kind of feel like you're on top of the world. God can do that for us. He can bring us out of that pit of destruction, out of that place of sin and despair. And he can make our lives new again, just as he did for David. And he did that for David many times. And God, and David recognized the blessings that God brought. The one who trusts in the Lord, he cites all of the wonderful things that God did. Verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. He was thinking about all the wonders, the wonderful things that God had made, and the things that God had done for David. And he said, and your thoughts toward us. You know, did you know that God thinks about you? Maybe we could translate that. David was thinking about God's thoughts toward us. God thinks about you. He has many thoughts about you. There are so many thoughts we can't even imagine them. Too many to count. We can't count all of the things that God thinks about and thinks about in regard to us. But God knows all about us and thinks about us, and he loves us, and he wants us to know him. Now it's the next part of the psalm that I want to spend a little more time on, verses 6 through 10. It's about Jesus' life in service to God. So maybe we could just say that the next part of the song, or the next part of the psalm, is about Jesus and his life in service to God. Could you translate that?
Okay.
It talks about sacrifices. One of the offerings that's mentioned, or one of the sacrifices that's mentioned, is the sin offering. When it says sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired, it means that those Old Testament sacrifices weren't really the things that God desired. Those sacrifices looked forward to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. That was the sacrifice that God really desired. One of the phrases is, "My ears you have opened." That's in verse 6. "My ears you have opened." This refers to a servant who had decided to give his life to his master for his entire life. The servant would have his master pierce his ears with an awl. And that meant that he had decided to serve the rest of his life for his master. So Jesus, speaking, says, my ears you have opened because he had given his life in service to God. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews changes that to say, a body you have prepared for me. So we'll read this verse in English first, and then we'll read it in Corinth. Hebrews 10:5 says, therefore, when he comes into the world, that's talking about Jesus. In fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us that these verses are about Jesus and Jesus speaking. And so it says, when he comes into the world, he says this, Jesus says this, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. So that's different than what we read in these verses where it says, my ears you have opened. So let's read it in Corinth also. Hopefully it'll be easy to read. I don't hope it'll be. If you can't read it, maybe we can read it in the Thank you. So why did he change it to body? When he said, my ears you have opened, and he changed it to body, a body you have prepared for me. Well, it's because the ears being opened or pierced represented the body that was given in service to the master. Is that something you could translate? We might remember that Craig has been telling us that one of the things we learned from Jonah is that God wants our body. Remember that? God wants us to give our body to serve God. Jesus was given a body to serve God. In fact, that body was prepared so that he could die, so that he could offer his life a sacrifice for sin. When we read that it was written, that in the scroll of the book it was written of me, it says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Jesus delighted to do the will of God. That was verse 8. I delight to do your will. So maybe we could just say that Jesus delighted to do the will of God. Jesus delighted to do the will of God. And God the Father was pleased with the sacrifice that Jesus offered. God the Father was pleased with that sacrifice that Jesus offered himself. So God didn't desire those Old Testament sacrifices. They just spoke of Jesus. And he was pleased with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Some of the Old Testament sacrifices included incense. Do you know what incense is? Okay, incense is something that they used with the sacrifices that was burned and that caused an aroma, and it smelled very nice. So when they would have the incense, and it would be like it was something sweet that you could smell that was pleasing. That smells so good. So even though God wasn't pleased with those sacrifices, it made him think about Jesus, which he was pleased with, because the incense reminded him of how pleasing that sacrifice would be. One time a year, the priest would go into the most sacred room of the tabernacle. One of the things that he did was he took some hot coals of a fire from the altar with incense. And then he burned some incense, and it made a cloud of incense around the things in the tabernacle. If he didn't do that, he would die. That cloud of incense was as though it protected him from God's wrath. So he wouldn't die. Because God is holy. And man is sinful. Some of the Jews didn't think it was possible for God to become a man. Because God is holy. And man is born in sin. Well, they were right about the second part. Man is born in sin. And actually, they're right about the first part too. God is holy. So they thought that if God took on a human body, well, that would... He couldn't do that because he was holy and man is sinful. But God did a miracle. He told a virgin that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit. And so God the Son could become human in moral purity. And so God became human, but he was still man, or still God. He became human, and he was still God. It was possible, and he was still holy. That cloud of incense reminds me of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to God. And it was acceptable. It was pleasing to God. And it reminds me that I'm protected, like that priest was, I'm protected from the wrath of God by the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ offered for me. Jesus has protected me from eternal death. Because he died for me. Jesus is my sacrifice. One of the gifts that the wise men brought to worship Jesus was frankincense. It's a type of incense. It reminds us of the life that the Lord Jesus would live that was pleasing to God. But not only his life, but his death was an offering. When he was crucified, his sacrifice was pleasing to God as well. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is the only thing that's pleasing to God for our sin. And it says that his law, he says, your law is within my heart. Jesus said, your law is within my heart. One of the names of Jesus is the Word. He is called the Word. And we'll just mention John 1:1 tells us that. And you don't have to translate this, but it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's talking about Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 1. He also says, I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. The Lord Jesus didn't hold back anything about the things to tell us about God. He proclaimed them. He told us all about them. He foretold his death several times, that he would be delivered into the hands of men. He would be tortured, that he would be put to death, and he would be raised again on the third day. The disciples didn't really know what he was talking about, but he told them ahead of time that's what would happen. And even in this psalm, he's telling us ahead of time, even before it happened, that he would come to this earth, and offer himself as a pleasing sacrifice to God for our sin. We'll just have you translate this, that Jesus told us the truth about God. He told us the truth about himself. A verse in John chapter 14 tells us that Jesus says, I am the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only way that we can have eternal life. Do you know the way and the truth. Do you have Jesus as your Savior? He was sent by God as a man to die to be our Savior. God is not satisfied by the Old Testament sacrifices. He's only satisfied by the sacrifice of Jesus. We can't offer any sacrifice for our salvation other than Jesus. For those who have believed in Jesus, this is one of the things that Jesus said. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." And let's see if we can read that in Corinth. I hope it's something we can read. John 5:24, I think is the, yeah, John 5:24. Have you turned from your sin to accept the sacrifice of Jesus so that you can have eternal life? If you have, you won't face eternal punishment or eternal death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can we read that in Corinth also? I hope that you will receive the gift of eternal life. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Would you receive the free gift of God of eternal life in Christ? If you haven't done that, I hope that you do that very soon. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, for his perfect, whole, complete, holy sacrifice that he offered to you and offered for us, offered on our behalf, so that we could have a perfect sacrifice and that we could have eternal life with you. We don't have any other thing that we can give you. We're just stuck in the mud without the Lord Jesus, and we thank you that he has offered himself, that he came to this earth for this very purpose, to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sin. We pray that we might have a better understanding of this, and that we just might, it just might cause us to worship him and to sing praises to him, even as we think of the angels that sang at his birth, "Glory to God in the highest." It's just a wonderful miracle that you have brought, that your son would come and become a man, and even still as God in holiness, would offer himself for cruel and sinners like us, cruel sinners who just really didn't have any part with you. But thank you that you have done this, that you would offer us eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just want to praise you for that and thank you for it. And we do so in his name. Amen.